God, I just thank you again for today and for each person here and for their lives and for your hedge of protection around each one of us. And God, I specifically lift to you Jim and his wife, Julie. And God, I thank you for her health, for just clearing anything out of her thyroid and that those test results come back negative. And just in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, just cast that junk out of her body. God, thank you for all of our families and anyone who really does have health issues that they're dealing with. They just, you know, we just cast them out in the name of Jesus Christ, God. And we also thank you that our brother Jesus Christ is the healer of broken hearts. And we thank you for that, God, because we know so many times that our healing begins with our mental state and what we feel or think we deserve according to your word. And we never want that to supersede the power of your, you know, your promises. So we thank you for that, God. And just thank you for, again, for anyone who has issues that they have to deal with, that, you know, they know in their hearts and in their minds that Jesus Christ paved the way. It's not about really how they feel, but, again, just the truth of your word. And we just we lift them to you, Jim and Julie, again, in the name of Jesus Christ. And just thank you for a wonderful day for each of us, God, that you have words specific to each person that's hearing, that has ears to hear today, God, that you just, you know, touch each one of our hearts as you always do with that word that never comes back void. And just thank you for being our God and our Heavenly Father and for your love and your grace and your mercy each and every day. I lift these things to you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ.
Anyone else?
Thank you for Donnie's brother Rico and his wife, their continued recovery and healing and rapid recovery. I thank you for taking care of my son-in-law Sam and our daughter Katrina, their, his health issues and finance issues. And thank you for just clearing that all up for them, that they can be happy, healthy, and live a wonderful life. I thank you for your continued care for Cindy and myself and everything you've been pulling through for us, making come to pass, and how wonderful everything is being for us in spite of trying times that we've had. I thank you for all this in the name of Jesus Christ.
And Father, I thank you for our little Owen here. I thank you, Father, for him continuing to heal up and that all those little synapses in his whole nervous system circuit just is whole, that healing takes place, it continues, and that he can have a fruitful, prosperous life. So I thank you every day in my heart for this little man to be able to enjoy life the way we do. As you continue to heal up those, the brain, the thinking system with all those little nerves that go everywhere, that they function and don't misfire. Thank you for this, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
God, I just thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for my niece again, and I just thank you for the three miracles that you've already done in her life, and I just thank you for a fourth. I just thank you for that everything goes good on Tuesday and that everything's going to be worked out and she can get everything that she needs to done get done before then. So I just thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'm good.
Okay. And Father, well, we thank you for all the things that you do for each of us. So many things, Father, that we can't count. The blessings that you've brought to us and the answers to prayer that you've provided for us as we come to you with great confidence. Thank you to this morning for Kathy's mom, for Julia, Father, for taking care of her and healing up her physical body so that she can continue to be blessed and continue to have many more years ahead of her. Thank you, Father, for her mind and the clarity of thinking in her mind so that she can be happy. And thank you, Father, for just taking care of her and healing her up the way you do. And for all the things that we have, Father, that we need, that you continue to encourage us to come to you. You continue to encourage us to bear our hearts before you and give you our cares, the things that we have great concern over in our lives. Father, that as we do that, you encourage us to just be at rest and realize that you have it, that you're taking care of these things, because that's your promise to us, and we're grateful for that. We're grateful for the signs, miracles, and wonders that follow us when we speak the truth and when we believe you. Father, thank you for continuing to open doors for each of us that we may provide a knowledge of who you are and your great love and grace that you have shown to each of us, that we can show that to others. So thank you, Father, for continuing to do that for each of us and continuing to open great doors for each of us as we have desire to be those ambassadors for Christ, those that can speak on his behalf just as he did. Thank you, Father, for granting us the grace and the mercy that we need day by day just to continue living in your presence. Thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for the great hope we have that one day we will say goodbye to all of this earth and the troubles that are resident here, that we have eternity with you to look forward to, surrounded by the glory of your kingdom, surrounded by the glory of your majesty and your grace, forever in your presence. Thanks, Father, for these things. We've had a great time together as we focus our hearts and minds on you and your wonderful Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Amen for Gilly. All right. Well, wonderful. Well, what has been going on? Anybody have anything they'd like to share? Testimony?
I don't know if Cindy mentioned this before, but she, when we did go to the hospital back in November, if we hadn't gone then, in 4 days, she would have passed. She would have died. So that was the first of a long string of miracles that we got there in time, and that she, and that she's much healthier now.
Yes, yeah, Patty.
And thank you, Steve, for praying for Rico and Roxana. That was,
yes,
you know, very thoughtful of you to remember. And, you know, obviously so many prayers about needs for health and healing amongst all of us. My head, I think, is cut off. Hi. It's okay. It doesn't matter. Just, you know, we all need to remember that our prayers are powerful. You know, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and we're all righteous, right?
Yeah.
You know, and when we all agree, you know, then we know it's going to come to pass. And I know Steve and Cindy really, really believe that, and I know all of us do. And maybe you don't know Jim and Julie, you know, but we pray for Julie. We think of Greg, and we think, well, his best friend, Jim, his wife has needs. We'll pray for her. They're serious, you know, and all of us, you know, sometimes we minimize the challenges that we're dealing with, because we're speaking positives. We are, you know, we know the power of life and death is in the tongue. It's weird, my head being cut off. So anyways, I think about this girl here. I'll just throw this out randomly. You know, she really opened up to us and told us what it was like for her to be in the hospital with COVID. I had no idea she was in there 3 weeks and how challenging it was, but she was just so absolutely little Miss ray of sunshine and refused to confess negatives and was positive about, you know, God. She looked at the good, you know, the glass is half full, and just kept trusting God that everything was going to be okay. She just had the strength of will, and this has been built in her daily habits. And Andrew, the same thing, and from their family, from their mom, from their upbringing of just choosing life, choosing blessing, and knowing that God will do for us what we need, and we just, no matter what it looks like or feels like, it could really hurt badly in certain moments of our life. We've all been there, and we know we just have to look to God to take care of it. So, but really all I wanted to do there was just thank you, Steve, for praying for Rico and Roxana. Roxana is in the hospital, and she's, even though she's very young, her COVID right now is compounded by asthma, and she's been in bad shape. And, you know, Uncle Rico's 70 years old. Roxana's a young woman. She's younger. I don't even think she's 50 yet, is she?
Oh, yes.
I don't know how old anybody is anymore. It doesn't matter. You know, so prayers of the righteous man available.
Plus, Dina's wearing pink fuzzy slippers.
I know. You want to show that? We should wait till Kathy gets on. Kathy would love these pink fuzzy slippers. That's a Kathy thing right there.
Can't go wrong with that.
No, you can't.
Yeah. So I want you to wear some next weekend.
Well, I'm going to get it.
I will get with Nina right after this. Find out what she got. So, yeah, it's true, though. You know, I mean, we all have our challenges, and you know, God brings us through all of them. God brings us through all of them. Sometimes in a heartbeat, and sometimes it takes a minute. But, you know, he brings us through, and that's the reality of our lives as sons and daughters of God. You know, we never have to be afraid. So, well, with that, I mean, who anybody else have anything?
Well, I do.
Okay.
I had two verses that I've been working in my head, and it starts with the hope of the return, and it reminded me, well, I'll read it. This is what God's hope is for us, and it's Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for peace and well-being, and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And the beauty of that is we would all be lost without hope. And then I thought about how he gave every human being, body and soul person, that universal law of believing. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to hope. And so the verse in Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And the beauty of that is, while we live in this world, we have many hopes, little tiny many hopes that will never compare to the hope of the return. But without mankind having many hopes to get through the struggles of life, we would be destitute. And the beauty here again is when we just prayed for people for their healing, we don't have just the universal law of believing. We have the faith of Jesus Christ. And that adds the shining element of our lives on the importance of our life. And so we will see results. I want little Owen, and he's not so little. He has autism. He's like a 13 years old and the sweetest kid ever. And I've been praying for him. I speak in tongues for him for long periods of time at night when I lay there in bed because I can hear him. talking or singing or something. He's so fun. And so I've been seeing changes because there's so much more power that we have that we don't recognize in our lives, in our minds. And because we don't feel it, because, you know, we're humans and we have that emotion there, emotions, but we don't feel it, that we have to believe that it's happening and we will see the results. So I love you guys, and I just want everyone to be healed that we prayed for. Okay, thank you.
Cheryl.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Cheryl. You know, I'm just reminded of how deeply we love, how deeply you love, Cheryl, how passionate we are about these things, even though there's just a small few of us, you know. It's really pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even like last night, Charlie and Karen, you know, you'd think that all these youngsters would be coming up here or whatever, and we just didn't invite anybody. We just left it alone. We just let's see what, you know, God works here. And Charlie and Karen drove 2 hours, got caught in a downpour. I mean, they just wanted to be with these guys, you know, because you guys have inspired so much faith in all the rest of us. There we go, Nina. How do you like that? It's the pink slippers. I know, she just, it's like, they're from Kansas, right? So Dorothy Gale from Kansas clicking her heels together. That might be it. They were red shoes, but these are pink.
What do those sound like?
I know, they're just soft and fluffy. But
they
anyway.
Sound like this.
I stayed up the other night with these two till 4 in the morning. Now, I don't do that. We were just all just like so inspired. You know, and I feel like I got major bags under my eyes because I haven't slept much, but we've been having so much fun, yeah. It doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we talked about everything.
We have had fun, and we're having fun.
I know God gives us, we're not doing things stupid. We're up late. He gives us the rest. You know, if we're up because we want to be up and we're being stupid about it, then we wake up tired. There is a difference. I always remember the record where, you know, Jesus Christ is up all night, you know, before he chose the, or, you know, chose the apostles.
Right.
And, it's like he had a need to do that. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't say he chose the apostles and then went to sleep. You know, maybe he did. I don't know, but obviously God gave him the energy to do it, just like God gave him the energy to, you know, hang out in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, you know. It's all just like we're praying, it's all dependent upon God, you know. And I was thinking, as Cheryl was saying what she was saying, it's, we pray for people and then we just got to let it go, because it's like we give it to God. So we don't have to be, we continue to pray and stuff like that. We be persistent, but we don't have to think that our, anything that we're doing is going to, other than our believing, is going to cause, you know, the healing and stuff like that. It's God's got to do, and he's promised, he'll do his part. So, it's kind of funny. I played softball Tuesday night, first game of our season, and, I pulled a hamstring. I don't know, the last time I was up to bat and I was like, took off to first, and all of a sudden halfway there, it's just like,
man.
And the next morning it was real tight and felt painful, and I just prayed about it. You know, I said, I don't like this. So, you know, thank you for healing me up, you know, and, it was funny because later on I was walking down to the mailbox going down the hill and all of a sudden I realized, oh, my leg feels fine. And when I went bowling Thursday night and I could feel it some, and but it you know, I was just so surprised though, on like Wednesday, how, you know, it felt bad in the morning and then all of a sudden I was walking around later and I couldn't feel anything, you know. It's like, oh thanks God. You know. Yeah. So you know, it's just I guess that's when it, you know, I kind of prayed about it and then went on with doing whatever I needed to do and forgot about it. I didn't until I was walking down the hill and I realized, oh, this feels good. You know?
Yeah.
So just always expect God to come through. You know, he does. So I'm thankful for that. And then another interesting thing happened to us. I think it was Wednesday night, and we had a pretty bad storms come through and lightning struck like right by the house. And it completely severed our cable coming into the house. And I guess it must have, the charge went up both ways on the cable. It went back to the pole it came from. It went inside. My cable modem didn't work anymore. Our cables, we have two set-top boxes. Neither of them worked. And some other, I don't know, it was just like, my audio system won't come on. I have a PlayStation. It won't come on. A whole bunch of stuff, but you know, it's just kind of like, a couple of things. One thing was funny. My personal computer wouldn't come on, but then when he came in, the guy came and replaced our cable box, which happened the next day. So that was like a miracle in itself. The cable company coming the next day. He was said something about, oh yeah, so you've got this other stuff that's not working. And my personal computer's right by where the cable modem was. And I'm like, yeah, you know, and I reached down and turned it on and it came on. So something happened and it came on. But, I think about it, you know, it's all, you know, pieces of metal and, you know, hunks of junk, really, you know, it's just all that stuff. And, I'm not too, you know, concerned about replacing it and stuff like that. Cause I know that God's got it, you know, it's like, you know, I'll just take care of it as it comes up and not be too concerned about it. So, but the thing is, yeah, we had the lightning strike. It didn't set the house on fire. It didn't, you know, kill one of us or something like that. But, it was very startling. The noise, it was like immediate. It's like, oh, so anyways, God's great.
Amen. He is great. So. That's awesome. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Oh, God. Nina, I'm nervous, so bear with. I've been telling everybody about my situation when I had COVID. I will say that everything that happened, from coughing up blood to having pneumonia, double lung pneumonia, to being exhausted, being in the hospital, I feared. It's kind of, it was exactly like Job, where it's everything I feared, it came upon me. And in the hospital, I know it was not looking good, because my oxygen saturation was just dipping in the 70s. Anytime I would walk, I would pass out. I mean, it was not good. They wanted to put me in the ICU, and they also wanted to possibly put me on a ventilator. And I said, no, I'm not going on a ventilator. And even people like family members would call and say, oh God, I just hope you don't end up on a ventilator. And I said no, because as believers, we have choices. We have power. We're reality sculptors. We have so many choices. And different from natural men, we don't have to just buckle into the roller coaster and just ride it out. We can get off at any time. And God showed me, look, you just have to be positive. You have to celebrate every little stride. You have to, and it's beyond looking on the bright side. It's an internal mindset of just constantly looking at what God does for you. Because, I mean, they gave me morphine. I had remdesivir. I had double lung pneumonia. So, I mean, I had a bucket of antibiotics, steroids. My heart rate was insane. It was so high. And, I mean, I had a catheter, had a diaper. I mean, it was a lot, but, you know, he got me through it. God got me through it. And mm-hmm. when my oxygen wouldn't tank, I'd celebrate. I had a seminal every day. I had pizza. I celebrate for food. So.
Yeah.
He told me not to watch anything negative because I love horror movies. Sorry. I love sci-fi and things scary. But he told me not to watch it. Told me to watch anything goofy. Like, what did he tell me to watch? He told me to watch King of Queens, Mom, Andy Griffith, stuff like that. Just goofy stuff. And I stuck to it. And it really helped because you have to just completely change your view. You cannot consider or internalize what any doctor says because mm-hmm. What is it? I just read it last night where God basically goffs at the wisdom of man. He doesn't consider it because he's God. Why would he need to consider what a man says? And you have to make a choice. Are you going to look at what they say or what he says? Because I remember a nurse even was listening to my lungs and she said an expletive, like they sound like crap. I was taken aback and I was like, really? I mean, you can feel the paper rustling and it feels hard to breathe, but I was like, no, my lungs are perfect. I have Jesus Christ lungs. I mean, he's in me. Why would I have crappy expletive lungs, you know? And then it came back right then when she said that, oh, the doctor's so excited. The oxygen level in your blood, it's coming up. Everything's working great. And the next night, it got really rough because my heart rate just got insane. It got like 170, 180, maybe even 200. And they had to give me morphine to slow it down. And I don't really remember, but this one extra nurse, because I think they do residency where I was. And she was like, maybe she needs to go on a ventilator. Maybe she needs to go to the ICU. And when I couldn't say no, a nurse said no for me. She said, she's my patient. She's not going. She's fine. Look at her heart monitor. It's perfect. It's just beating fast. And then the next day, a nurse prayed for me. She's like, can I please pray for you? I'm like, absolutely. And she prayed for me. She's like, you just exude the love of God. You just exude Christ. It's like Christ is just sitting in this bed. And I'm like, you know, I think through you, Christ is walking through this hospital. And I never saw her again. She bought me a candy bar because I was doing better. She's like, you're doing better. I'm going to get you a present. So I'm like, thank you. I love candy.
You never saw her again?
No. I remember her name. Her name's Lisa. So pray for Lisa. But she was just amazing because it was like, you know, she's giving me positive thoughts and things to look at and to celebrate. And yeah, I mean, they all were saying, you were just so wonderful. You have oxygen. Yeah, I forgot I had oxygen. I had 45 liters of oxygen, and every time they would turn it down, because it sounded like a wind turbine, it was so loud.
Mm.
And then every time they turn it down, like 45 today, you know, 30 today, 20 today, 15, I would celebrate. Because you have to. You have to celebrate every little stride he gives you. And you can't fear. Because I'm a nerd. And I love reading. I love sci-fi and fantasy. But I remember from Dune, it says, fear is a mind killer. And it stops the flow of everything. God cannot work if you let fear in. I mean, and I'm not saying, because faith is a mustard seed. But I'm saying if that's all you look at, that's all you exacerbate, and that's all you want to focus on and magnify, it just stops his power. Mm-hmm. It stops your power. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what's going on now. Don't be afraid of this. I mean, I'm not saying go around lick doorknobs, but I'm saying practice caution. But caution and fear is a fine line. And God, he's always there to show you the difference. So, love you, everybody.
Awesome. Great.
So great.
That was awesome.
Great.
I have something I would like to share, Donnie.
Okay, Vita.
Nina, thank you so much for sharing that. That's one of the reasons. Well, I guess you can't hear me, right? I was on mute. Oh, wait, hold it. Now I can't hear you.
No, it's fine. We're good now. You went on mute on us. Okay, say that again. Go ahead.
Okay, I was telling, first of all, the prayers, that they were just so right on. Thanks for the prayers, the healing prayers, and how, you know, when we speak things from our mouth, we're actually speaking from the mouth of God, because we are his mouthpiece. And I wanted to thank Nina for sharing what she just shared, because that's one of the reasons I'm really at home, is because I've been doing a lot of coughing the last few days and with a headache. I mean, I don't have fear, but I just, you know, like you just said, being cautious and just, you know, kind of laying low and you know, being around people, because if you cough these days, right, everybody look at you like, what's wrong with But I've had to use a pump and stuff a little bit, you know. So, but that's, you know, thanks for sharing that. It really blessed my heart. But I've been thinking a lot about imagery and how important it is to have, you know, images in our mind. God uses a lot of imagery in his word. Like figures of speeches, you know, our life with God is a spiritual life, and we cannot see it with our five senses, right? We can't see into the spiritual realm without looking at it spiritually. So we have to have those mind pictures in our mind as to, the things of God. You know, because if we don't see something, we can't walk in it. For instance, say if there was a, like water here, right? And if we wanted to cross over, if we didn't see a bridge so that we could walk across on it, we wouldn't walk on it, right? In order to access the things that we have spiritually, we have to see those things so that we can walk in them. And those things are spiritual, so they're not going to be seen with our five senses. And I've just been thinking a lot about how important it is to get those things in our minds, the things that God is giving us, the things that he's putting on our heart to get. We used to call it clear and concern, right? To get really focused and clear and concerned about those things, to get a clear focus so that we can take that picture and have that image of what it is that God has for us. I can remember this time, and it's so funny, the situation. It was my father, my mother, we, and us, the kids. I don't know how many of us was there, because it was 11 of us. So we went to Disney World this time, right? And we went into the, it's a small world. And if everybody ever went into that, you go in, you're standing upright, and they have all these cameras around. See, Hollywood knows this, how important imagery is, right? They had all these cameras around, and we were riding through this town like we were in a fire truck. And it was just speeding through the town, and as it sped through the town, you know, if it went over a hump like that roller coaster, it's kind of like you went over it with it and stuff like that. And so it kind of like turned a corner, and it turned the corner very fast, and my father fell down because he was so into that image that he was viewing, he actually fell down. And we wasn't moving. We wasn't moving at all. But our mind, that's how powerful the images that we have in our minds are. And to get those type of images, whether it's like, even I was thinking about it this morning, even with healing, you know, to have that image, to see it, to really just see it through, to see it clearer. And because without seeing it, you can't walk into it. You know, when Peter, he stepped out the boat, he saw something. Peter saw something, and he got up and he stepped out of the boat. The other guys didn't see it, but Peter saw it. And then when Peter took his eyes off that thing that he saw that made him get out the boat, and he started looking at the natural, which was the storms, he started to think. So, yeah, just been thinking a lot about that and how, you know, because that faith is in a natural, it's not in a natural realm. Faith is not in a natural realm. It's in a supernatural realm, right? So in order for us to, even like what Nina was saying, God told her not to watch nothing negative because that puts images in our minds. You know, it put thoughts in our minds, and our thoughts paint pictures. And God has so wonderfully given us those in his word, and he does it through a lot of figures of speech. Like, you know, when we learn in the class, it's like the ground is thirsty, right? Well, the ground is not thirsty. It don't drink. But you get a image in your mind of a dry desert cracked and everything. So just been thinking a lot about that and how important it is for us as believers to have to start getting those vivid images in our minds of the things of God, you know. And but I wanted to also, like I said, that really blessed me, your sharing and stuff. So,
Donnie, can I share something else?
Sure. Hold on one sec. Go ahead.
You really blessed me too, Rita. I remember meeting you in Colorado.
Really?
Yeah, it was forever ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago when they had the believers, the leaders meeting or
something. Yeah, that was it.
Oh, wow. How old are you? Oh, never mind. You don't have to tell me. I mean, you look like you're only like 18, 19 years old.
We were there.
Yeah, you were
there.
Oh, wait.
33.
I keep getting hearted, though.
I can see why. I see why. You look so young.
Thank you.
And you're so beautiful.
Thank you. You are, too.
Oh,
all right. That's wonderful.
Cheryl was
fun. Yeah.
Well, I love, first of all, I'm so thankful that Andrew has a beautiful sister with such a great soul life. And she's great. And I love you. And Vita was fantastic because the imagery, because our brains do think in pictures. We may not recognize the picture at the time, but our brain thinks in pictures. So God set it all up. He's so perfect. And then I thought about also the Andy, you know, that the show, Ann Taylor, the show that you said that you were watching things. Well, I have to tell you, I got locked out of Facebook and chats, and I've never been happier, and it's just a beautiful thing. But also, when something is going wrong in my life, somehow, for some reason, a song will pop up, and a secular song, "Don't Stop Believing," you know, and all I have to do is sing that stupid phrase, and it just changes your whole frame of mind. It's just beautiful. So it's been a great morning, and now on with the show, you guys. There you go. I'm sorry for taking up this time.
Yeah. All right.
What else? I just want to follow up shortly. My company's name is Vivid Images for a long time. And I have a prayer room. And I always, whoever is in need of prayer, I have candles. I have their pictures in the room, and I do visualize them. So if everybody could, this little girl, Eden, is in the hospital for the second time. It was unexpected. Her mother, Annette, has been through so much. Scoliosis. It's she was a dancer, and she was just enjoying it, and she came down with that, and it's taken that away from her, and the operations and complications. So if you could pray for Eden and her mom, Annette, who's been through a lot. That's one of my images in my meditation prayer room. And also Barbara is going through a health exam. She's having some issues.
Is that her picture?
Yes. Yeah.
Show us.
That's Barbara. And she's going to a health exam this week in California. So hopefully it's some minor issues that won't be turn out to be more serious than they are. And so I do believe in images. I have a whole vision board. I believe in my everything I've ever accomplished in my life has been on my vision board. And when you visualize it, and lift it in your prayer and meditation, what you want, it becomes clear and crystallizes. And that's biblical, by the way. Okay. God bless.
Michael, would you like to pray? Lead us in prayer, and you can go ahead and pray for Barbara and for that.
Yes, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ right now for Eden, for her clearing up the bacteria, clearing up all of the complications that have resulted from what I think was unnecessary operation the second time, but that's my vision. God, you know what's going on. Help these doctors, help these nurses, help her mother. She's been through so much. And I thank you for giving them the strength and the courage, and that girl that is being so brave to go through this, to heal them in the name of Jesus Christ, to get through this. And for Barbara, for her, for her, health, for her strength, for her memory and thinking and clarity in her head, that there's no injury, that it's just temporary stress or something related. And just remove that stress, remove any cause and effect of her complications. And I lift to you her health and her, and I love her. And I thank you for that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Great.
Michael, what was Eden's mother's name?
Her mother's name is Annette.
Can you show their picture again?
Yeah.
Because we didn't. I couldn't see it because Donnie was swinging the thing.
Well, yeah.
What?
Annette was my fitness instructor for many years, and I got her other daughter through prayer for 2 years, off and on, from a back. She got in New Mexico, and we went through a lot together getting that child healed, and it worked. Her daughter was down to 89 pounds, her other daughter, and now she's back finally after 2 years. She missed school and everything. So prayer, consistent, just never give up, and she's a healthy daughter now, her older daughter. And Eden, I have videos of her dancing. She was a contortionist. She could do all of this stuff. And then what's it called? Scoliosis, something like that. It's a spinal curvature. And so that's the two, Annette and Eden.
Well, you know, we know nothing's impossible with God. Nothing. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter how severe any doctor says it is. It's nothing for God. It's a easy thing. And we're his kids, and he's given us that kind of authority and power. So we continue to expect that. That's what we expect. I think we were talking about, at some point it came to my mind, you know, that we're constantly bombarded with things in the physical realm constantly. I mean, every day there's a new challenge out there, and we cannot do anything but focus our hearts and minds on the things that God can do and has done for us. We know what God can do. God has done great things for each of us. And that's the reality of our lives. He's done powerful things for each of us. He's answered prayers that took his power and his power alone to accomplish. And we've seen it. All of us have seen the power of God working in our lives. And no matter how many times we seem to miss the mark, whatever the reason, it still does not negate the reality of the power of God working in us and working through us. And when we speak, when we pray, we continue to have that confidence that it is done. It's done. We act as God's kids. We imitate God as dear children. When he says something about something, no question, right? No word spoken from God is impossible. Nothing that he says is impossible. Nothing that he has promised is impossible. And he says of things that are not as though they are. That's how confident he is in his ability and power and authority. He's the Almighty. And we're his children. You know, and that's why when we pray, when we command, we expect that same result. We can do nothing else than that. If we're truly imitating God, if we're truly walking with our Heavenly Father, just like Jesus Christ walked with him, you know, we do the same, and we expect these mighty things, and we incorporate all of these great things that we've been talking about, all these principles, these ways that we can focus our mind and stay our mind on him and recognize what he has given to us. This life, you know, this life of sonship, of being powerful and authoritative as ones that are just visiting here from the heavenlies. We're just on a visit. We're just on a visa, and it's a temporary visa, you know, to be on this planet, because our real true home and our true citizenship is in heaven, right? So we recognize that. We recognize the authority that comes with that. And no matter what things look like sometimes, no matter how many times the devil seems to get the upper hand and defeat us, it's okay. Nothing changes with God. Nothing changes with our sonship. Nothing changes with what we have within us. So we continue to expect great things. That's our expectation. That's our vision, right? We see it as if it's already accomplished. And having that mind picture of that, having that visual of it, just helps. It helps us. So whatever it takes to walk with believing, walk in faith, right? So what else is on anybody's mind here? Yeah?
I got something.
Okay, Tim?
I wasn't going to share at all. I was just going to sit back and just absorb. But
okay.
And you tell me if I'm wrong in my thinking here, because I think I'm right, but I don't know. You know, I once heard that all healing is a miracle. And it doesn't give you a time element on that, you know, on that healing at all. You know, I've noticed this with my niece, you know, because you know, like a lot of times we think that we pray for somebody, we expect them to be healed automatically and immediately, and that's the end of it. And, you know, and when that happens, it's great. But we also have to deal with where people are at also, you know, and the spoken word dispels darkness. And when you talk to somebody, you know, like when I've been dealing with my niece, I've been dealing with one step at a time, one situation at a time, one. You know, I just wrote her when we were talking because she was texting me back. You know, she's got this thing going on Tuesday and she's really nervous about it again. And I said, well, you've already seen three major miracles in your life. First of all, they found you in a ditch after you took 200 pills, and you should have been dead then, but then you should have been dead in the accident, and then they stuck a needle in your heart and brought you back, and then 8 days later, you get diagnosed with triple negative cancer and have to have both breasts removed, you know. And at that time, you know, she didn't know how bad it was, had spread, or how bad it was, whether it went to her brain or the rest of her body. And I don't, you know, I just, you know, and she wouldn't know until Monday, and she had to live the whole weekend worrying about that and being afraid of it. And not, you know, I really saw the essence of having no hope without God in the world, where I think that was Cheryl that shared about the little hopes. But you know, I mean, to not have, to look at something that massive and that intense and to not have God, and the only thing that you can rely on are the doctors and yourself. It's the scariest thing in the world, you know. But she went there and she got there, her diagnosis, and it hadn't spread at all. And in my mind, I think it had spread, and I think that she got healed and it stopped, and it went, you know, and it stopped right there. You know, now she's going ahead and talking to me about Tuesday, you know, and I'm going ahead and just telling her, hey, look, you know, you've already seen those miracles. You could go ahead and you could see. We just need to believe for a fourth. And I told her when I first started talking to her, I said, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to tell you everything that you need to do in your life in order to go ahead and be healed. You know, proper food, proper this, proper that, sleep, no sleep, you know. And I said, you know, there's only one thing that I want you to do, and that's it. And I said, you just need to believe with me. If you believe with me, we can get through this whole thing, you know. But you can't give up. You have to believe. And I thank you for all your prayers. I know your prayers not only were wonderful, but they were powerful. And I believe that we all have situations that we have to deal with and we have to go through. But again, going back to that, all healings are a miracle. It doesn't, you know, your body heals itself. It's a miracle. You're spiritually, when you get healed instantaneously, it's a miracle. When you go ahead and you're believing, when you think, oh, you know, well, this is taking too long, I must not be leaving, that's just a lie. You know, it's not a lie. It's just knowing what knowing what God is going to do, and that he knows you and you're believing, and how you need to, and for him to get you to the point of where you can go ahead and you can physically believe and finally see that healing in your life. So I, you know, after everything that everybody shared, you know, all these things were going around in my brain about this whole thing, that, that we have a wonderful hope, and we have a lot of mini hopes that, you know, in situations, because everything always comes up. There's always something that's going to come up next. You know, unfortunately, we think we get through it and that's it, but, you know, and we just have to believe God for miracles in our lives to go ahead to make sure that we can go ahead and be blessed and more. So that's what I wanted to share.
Thanks. That's wonderful news about your niece, and we'll continue to expect each challenge to be overcome. Just, you know, as so many of us, we know this, we know it's possible. We know what God can do. So that's wonderful.
And you're not wrong with the way you were seeing it, because God has shown you and revealed to you so many things regarding Sarah. And sometimes it takes a minute. Sometimes it takes couple of years, you know, but if we set our sights on that healing and just never give up. So Andrew, you wanted to share?
Yeah.
I had some other things, but I'll wait.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, Andy, go ahead.
Well, it's really just great to be here. You know, just seeing all the believers and the guys with smiling faces, and seeing you guys here is just really wonderful.
I was. Can you guys hear him?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. And you know, I went up and I was sleeping in my room and the room you guys are lending me. And you know, I got up this morning, got my Bible, went out to the deck, smoked about 5 cigarettes or so, and I was just thinking about the last time I was here, you know, and just the time of my life. It was really just like a more tumultuous time than now. And just the love you guys gave me, and I was here, didn't know anybody, you know, and it's like you guys just welcomed me into your house. So I really wanted to say thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Thank you for hosting me and my sister and showing the same love that you showed me to her.
Our pleasure. You guys are very lovable.
Thank you.
We like margaritas.
We love margaritas. Yeah. We had this jalapeno margarita that was awesome. Yeah. But I was reading in my Bible, and I wrote a little bit on a pack of cigarettes. Corinthians 2, or 2 Corinthians 14, 18. Or 2 Corinthians 14 through 18. I'm going to kind of just paraphrase that. Not paraphrase, but... Oh, what was it? Come on, can't read my own chicken scratch. There it is. 2 Corinthians 5.
5:14?
5:14 through 18. For the love of Christ, or for, I'm not wearing my glasses, jeez.
Do you need them?
Yeah, no, I'm good. Let's go up here. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, they which live should henceforth. Okay, go ahead and read. Go ahead and 15, starting 15.
Okay. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again.
Yeah, keep going.
Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. If true, we have no Christ after the flesh. Yet now henceforth, know we him no more.
Okay, go ahead.
What are you going to read to?
18.
Okay, sorry. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Yeah, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new, are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation.
Yeah, when I came here, it's, you know, okay, 300-pound black man who's a foot taller than everybody.
He's big guy.
You know, I kind of come here with two people who you guys know, but you guys never met me before. You guys, you know, through the flesh, yeah, people are intimidated by me. But you guys knew me after the spirit, not after the flesh.
You talked about when we first met, you like 10, 11 years ago. We yeah. can't remember how many years
yeah.
ago.
But, and it hit me. We're not supposed to know Jesus Christ after the flesh. We're supposed to know him after the spirit.
Mm.
Because in the flesh, he died for us. But he was risen for our salvation and risen so we can be fellow heirs. Mm. Yeah, I start thinking about quickening and like Okay, Romans, what is it? Romans 8:11. Sorry. But the Spirit, I'm sorry, I'll wait till everybody's there. But the Spirit of Him that raised Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, Donnie was talking about, you know, the difference in the churches. They just say Jesus now. They don't say Christ.
But, oh, that really bugs me.
Yeah.
Oh, that bugs me.
Jesus died for us. It was Christ.
Jesus only, people just praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know. Oh, man, that guy's crazy.
Yeah. All right. But, yeah, Jesus died for us. Christ was risen. And quickened us, you know, all of our, in this whole thing, but the point that I'm getting at is in our body, when the sperm hit the egg and we went through 9 months gestation, we took our first breath. When we took our first breath, in that package, that was all the life we were going to get in the flesh. Everything. But God reconciled us to Him. Through Jesus Christ. God couldn't come down here and do it. That's why He sent an emissary. He sent the mediator between us. And He reconciled us to Him. And just like, man, and I just love you guys so much. I'm so thankful for being here. And just the word that you have taught me. You know, even in this last couple of moments, you get to a stage, you think, oh yeah, I don't think I can learn much more, but then it's just like, man, it's always humbling. So I love you guys, and you guys are the best. We are a new creation. The old man is dead in trespasses and sins. We are not of the old man.
That's right.
We are of God. We are His sons, His fellow heirs, Jesus Christ fellow heirs. We're God's inheritance. We're His prize. So we need to throw our shoulders back, walk out, and believe God just always that He has it. He has the answers. He has those, you know, those images. We don't just think of them ourselves. God gives them to us.
Yeah.
You know, we think of somebody being healed. It's not from our brains. God's given those to us to think about and to get us through that moment. Mm-hmm. And when we pray, we're doing nothing but sending out positive messages and energy to God, saying, God, I know You can do this. Mm-hmm. So, no, I just love you guys. And thank you for having us. And thank you for showing us the love of God. And you guys are so strong and beautiful.
All of you are.
So,
thank you, Andrew. You're wonderful.
You want to tell them about the gifts you made?
Yeah, I bought everybody. Our fellowship made everybody gifts. They're little jars with mustard seeds in them. And the power isn't in the mustard seed. The power isn't in the jar. It's just a reminder for the power of that. It's an image. Yeah. And a reminder for the power that you guys have.
Where do you have them?
They're in the...
Where's one handy?
You're in the...
Don't get up, Justin. Yeah. Can you go in on the couch in my office and just grab out of that little box one of those little cute baggies?
Yeah, it is a great image. So
he's
a great representation of that great truth that if you have faith, there's a mustard seed.
But they made these for every single one of you.
Yeah.
I mean, couldn't.
Show them. Just let me have one of them. But, yeah. All right, let me see this. This is good. I got this. So they made one of these guys. I'm going to show them to you first on the See, they made this. They made this. So
oh, yeah.
It's got Matthew 17:20 on there, but then, you know, of course, I didn't get a pink one.
Okay, well.
I'm trying to get this open.
Well.
Here, it's coming. Well, you tied this one good.
I know, yeah. It's a little too
oh, here, here it is. Here another it is. One? Here, no, I got it.
Now, who are these two for?
That's fine. Those are things.
These are out.
Here we go. So, inside. Okay. Here's the little jar. And you probably can't see it because it's so small, but there is a mustard seed in there. The mustard seed in there, and then it says, this one, the little pendant says miracles. Mine says believe.
It's like a charm.
It's wonderful. It's a great little gift and little reminder of the power of faith. Right?
And then they put a verse. Nina said, you picked a verse of scripture for each and every one of us. And I mean each and every one of us, even Rico and Roxana. I mean, any of the names of the people that they have heard of or known about in the fellowship, they made one of those four.
So anything other than that you need to explain about it?
No. Oh, well, that's not a Middle Eastern mustard seed. It's a French one.
Right.
Yeah, so the Middle Eastern ones are really,
it's
really,
about
really
one-tenth the size of this. And when you get those, remember, it takes one-tenth the size of that.
And isn't it like the tallest tree?
Yeah. Oh, it's a big tree.
It's a big tree.
Big tree.
Yeah. All trees of life in Africa. Because they shield some of the animals and they get shade and they actually, water actually ponds around the roots. They're amazing trees. They're huge.
All right.
Well, I had a few things.
Okay.
We've been talking a lot, all of us, about imagery and visualizing things and picturing, and we used to call it, what was it, believing images of victory. The imagination is really a powerful thing. And that's why from the negative standpoint in 2 Corinthians, it talks about casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. And so remember that song, be careful little minds what you see, be careful little ears what you hear. We really do need to guard what we allow to be put into our head and hearts, because, you know, it goes down into the mind, it goes down into the heart, where is the seed of faith, where that's where believing comes from, and then it proceeds out of our lives in our strength, you know, heart, mind, soul, and strength. And our words, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And my emphasis right now that I would like to make, and you know me this way, all of you do, I'm really so much about memorizing scriptures, and not for the sake of memorization, but for the sake of the visual image. I mean, I can, if I can't remember the whole verse, I can see it on the page, because you know, to write the word of God on the table of your heart repeatedly helps really cause it to sift down into your heart of hearts, where faith really comes from. And I think about what Cheryl said, you know, the faith of Jesus Christ, I never really understood what that meant until there was a teaching Sangit Baines was doing. And to me, it just kind of could be summarized as, it's that thing that just kind of jump starts us off into, it's like superlative believing, you know, the ultimate of believing in faith, because it wasn't available until, you know, really for us, for our administration, because for Christ, for that to be available to us, Christ had to be seated at the right hand of God. And, you know, Christ is the head. And then this faith of Jesus Christ is that special kind of faith. And we all have it because, you know, he had perfect blood because he was the Father's child. You know, none of us have perfect blood. And so we need that faith of Jesus Christ, you know, but he was a man's man. He was all man. And also I was thinking about, you know, how Donnie mentioned it in Romans 4:17b, God calls those things that be not as though they were. And that's what we have to do when we're commanding faith, commanding healing in the name of Jesus Christ, or whatever it is we need, to call those things that be not, you know, the impossible, call those things that be not as though they were. That's what God did. And that was referring to Abraham and Sarah, because they had an impossible situation. Sarah was too old to have a daggone baby. You know, but then she did. Just, you know, I think of it as how God just broke rank in his own rules, because a woman technically really isn't going to have a baby in the natural course of life at 99 years old, 98 or whatever she was. You know, I just love how God breaks rank in that, you know, he'll break his own rules. Like Andrew was, and rules by that, I mean, in a kind of oxymoron kind of way. Does that make sense? Like Andrew was talking about, you know, his whole family had COVID and, you know, his mom had it. You know, we know his brother fell asleep. Andrew had it. Now, but Andrew shared with us, he had no symptoms. And Andrew smokes, and Andrew, you know, is a big guy, and he maybe doesn't eat the perfect health food all that. You know, I just love that. You know, I love how God, it's not about us. It's about God. It's about him. And I know, you know, one reason Andrew really rallied and just really had to be okay was in his heart, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that he felt responsible for the family. Therefore, he had to have it together. Therefore, he was fine. And he was the head of the house. You know, I think about, there's just something about us being propelled by reason of something like that. You know, his love, faith works by love, right? So his love for his sister, his brother, his mama, you know, hit the whole family there. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And we've got to keep our hearts light. These guys have the merriest hearts, and we really all just love to laugh, and we all have these unique kind of warped, crazy senses of humor. There he goes. My husband's leaving. She's talking. But I wanted to read very briefly here in James chapter 5, because I referred to it earlier, kind of random off the cuff. I wasn't planning on that. But about, you know, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, effectual and fervent, what does that mean? Well, it's at the end of the chapter 5, James 5. It's effectual, you know, it's effective. It can be repetitively effective. And it is fervent. And we don't just give it to God and walk away and forget about the person. I mean, that's not what fervent prayer is. We fervently continue to pray and fervently continue until the answer comes to pass, until the results follow. And it could take a while. And that requires persistence in prayer. That requires dedication, determination, you know, and just continuing to keep that mindset and that visual. I love your vision board, Michael. I think that's a great, great thing to have pictures of people, because I was sharing with Andrew the way I pray when I really get in that zone. I picture the person. I picture them in their living room. I picture parts of the globe. If I've been to their home, I picture that. If I haven't been to their home, like the believer, and I'll picture, you know, like the believers in Europe, I'll pick the ones I know. I'll picture France. I'll picture Germany. I'll picture Spain. I'll picture Great Britain and the people I know there. But I've never been there, any of those places. But Donnie has, my daughter has. But I picture the people I know there. And then when I pray, this is just how weird my mind is. Maybe yours isn't this weird, but when I'm picturing, like, for example, Maria and Patricio in France, in Spain, my mind will jump to the the Panhandle area where Preet and Johnny live. You know, Johnny is Patricia's son, and Preet is, you know, Sangit Beatrice's. And we've been to their house, so I picture their home and them in it and speak in tongues for them like that. And then, you know, when I jump over to India, Africa, it's, oh, I've never been to Africa, but in the Middle East, I know that there's unrest in the Middle East, and I won't expound on that, but I picture what I, you know, those countries there, and this guy named Amir Safadi, who teaches God's word, and he's, he lives in Jerusalem, and I just picture what I've seen before. So there, Gilly, stop. Somebody get the dog. He's digging up the rug, thinking that he, I call it scruffalophagus. He thinks he's going to make it fluffy like a blanket. It just doesn't work, Gilly.
He's tumbling back to Mexico.
I know. But anyway, God brings stuff to our remembrance that we've already seen. And if we haven't seen it, then we'll have some way to identify with it. Like I identify with people and pray for them because of the map of the globe. And I've seen that, you know, or, so that's just a visual way for me. And it really works. And I start big like other countries and I bring it down to our little household right here. Justin, Anthony, Vanessa, Donnie, Donnie, me, whatever. Anyway. All right. So I'll read this thing here. It's 5:13. I'll just read through it. I won't expound too terribly much. I've already lost. No. No, we bounce around a lot. Okay. Verse 13, it says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. You know, merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That's one of my favorite verses to memorize because you just know how some people, you just, like, they have that energy about them, joy. Like that's Nina. I mean, she's just cheerful. I mean, it takes me a minute in the morning to wake up. Here she's just like, she bursts in the room. Can I help with anything? I don't know yet. You know, merry heart, she just exudes that so much. Yeah. Then it goes on to talk about having somebody pray over you or whatever, the elders pray. You know, if you need a little help, get somebody to minister to you, pray with you or for you, that kind of thing. Verse 15, it says the prayer of faith shall save the sick. It's going to make the sick whole is what the word say. Make them whole. You know, no matter how long it takes, no matter what the disease, you know, at the name of Jesus, and the word Christ isn't there in Philippians, but it is implied at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, you know, both in heaven and in earth and under the earth, the underbellies. Everything's got to respond at the name of Jesus Christ, right? Yeah. And that's just that power, that faith of Jesus Christ. It's a law, like gravity's a law, right? So it's not up to us other than just to jumpstart it, but ignite it by believing, by just accessing it, by speaking it and believing it, right? Mm-hmm. It's not our problem. It's God's problem. And that's what I love about the times I've talked to Cindy B I call her Cindy B. She knows why. She used to live with us many years ago. She was Cindy B. She always will be to me. That, you know, it's God's problem. It's not mine. Mm-hmm. You know, and to believe God, to do what he says he's going to do, and to take him at his word and to trust him, you know, that is the deal. And it's implied here in verse 15. It says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, make them whole, and the Lord shall raise them up. Okay, we're all doing a lot of praying here, but it's the Lord that's going to raise them up, right?
Yeah.
That's going to make them whole. You know, and if he's sinned, missed the mark, you know, he'll forgive them. God forgives us for everything, right? Through the accomplished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, verse 16 is kind of weird the way it reads, but I'll still read it. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Oh, all that's talking about right there. You know, just you can open up and come clean with somebody, but don't do that with everybody. Don't go around hanging all this out there for everybody, because some people don't believe. Even they're unbelieving believers. I wouldn't share my heart with too terribly many people about a specific, really deep-rooted need that I have, other than, you know, my husband first and maybe nobody else ever. I may never tell anybody, and that's okay. But to get it off my chest, so to speak, I'll talk to him about it, and I trust him more than anybody on this planet. And he's kind of cute, too, I think, don't you?
Absolutely.
Greg. All right. So anyways, but then it says in the part B there in verse 16, the effectual, fervent prayer, that passionate prayer, like God's got this. I've got this. It's God in Christ in me. We've got this together, right? The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. And then it goes on to give the illustration of Elijah. It was a man subject to like passions as we are. You know, he was a guy, same emotions and all that. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the earth gave rain. Mm. You know, that's some power in just speaking and praying and believing. And he didn't have Christ in him, right? So, anyway, you know, I just, those were things. Everyone has shared such great stuff, such great stuff. And Nina, you know, Andrew's always tells us that all his aunts and his mom and Nina are there, and they don't want to even be on the camera, so we didn't even know they were there until recently. I didn't even know they were, and she's already, like, looked up Vanessa and knows her songs and, you know, found our website and gave it to somebody else. And, you know, I didn't even know any of this. And so it's nice to get to have the visual, right? Now we can pray for her because we've seen her beautiful face.
Thank you.
Wonderful. That's great. All right. What's on your mind, Greg?
Swing it around. Make it.
I'm just really blessed listening to all the testimonies in the Word, right? I mean, it, of course, when people share the Word, it brings other things to your mind. Yeah. God shows you stuff, right? So, the first thing that really came to mind with everybody sharing was, you know, how critically important it is for us to stay close to the believers. This is a family. We're called to be a family. That's critically important because, and I've shared this with Natalie before, and I've said to her, you know, if something ever happens to me, right, you have to take charge. You have to, you know, and there are believers I want in my presence. I want you. I want Donnie. I want Patty. I want Kathy. I want believers around me because, you know, just like you, Nina, if they were giving you morphine in the middle of the night, you know, somebody's got to stand in the gap.
Yeah.
Right. Jesus Christ stands in the gap for us. Yes. But, you know, if I'm out of my mind, you know, my prayer is that I can muster the energy to speak in tongues, because that's always my fallback, is to just speak in tongues when I don't know what else to do. Which the Word instructs us, right? I speak in tongues, and that's the best that I can give it. But you know, if something were to happen to me, you know, I want to be surrounded by believers, because I don't want, and a great testimony would be when Kathy's mom was sick the first time years ago, and she was in a very similar situation with her organs, and her potassium level was low, and they couldn't figure out what was going on. And, you know, Kathy stood in the gap, and she, I visualized one of those Foo Fighter dogs that stands at the gates,
yeah,
and says, you're not getting past this door if you're bringing negative believing into my mom. And she, yeah, rebuked nurses. She rebuked doctors. She told an unbelieving nurse to get out of the room, you know, and we have to be bold, not just, you know, pardon my language, we can't be chicken shits when it comes to yeah. spiritual stuff.
Sure.
Because the adversary steals, kills, and destroys, and he's serious about his business.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would want, my first thought was, I would want the family of believers that I know and I love and, you know, and I can trust around me, you know, to help make the right decisions, you know, for my life. You know, that would be the best that I could do in that situation, right? Possibly. But I would also believe that, you know, somewhere in the depths of my mind, you know, I'd be just be hanging out with God.
Yeah.
You know, just having conversations with God.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the comforting thought I had, you know, I would have with that. And then, you know, you're talking about visualization, and then my mind immediately went to, you know, the adversary showing Jesus Christ all the kingdoms of the world.
Uh-huh.
You know, and temptation through the five senses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he hungered after 40 days, you know, and, you know, I'll turn those stones into bread. I know you're hungry. You know, so let me get you through that five senses, you know, reality or non-reality or whatever it was, you know, and the, you know, the mantra of, you know, the way core, it is written, you know, well, let me fall back on the word, you know, yeah. Mr. Adversary, you know, well, let's see what God says about that. Right. And so Natalie and I will watch Andy Griffith. I love Andy Griffith because it's just, you know, of all the stuff on television, you know, that's probably close to the cleanest, that Gomer Pyle and a few others in TV land that I don't have to, my defenses aren't constantly up with the television other than, you know, about every third episode, they introduce a new drug.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of laugh about it and say, is that a new one?
The commercials.
Yeah, the commercials, right? Yeah, is that a new one? I didn't even know that was a disease. And they've got a drug for it, you know. But, you know, I sit in, and of course, in my mind, in my heart, I just chalk it up to, well, there's another bombardment of the mind, you know, and they're showing me, you know, there's a new one now that, you know, if you've got severely bad red eyes, you've got there's some new disease that pops up, right? And I looked at her and I said, wait, we saw that in that movie 28 Days about the zombies the other day. So if you got the red eyes, you've got rage disease, you know. So we kind of make light of it, but, you know, it's also God can really show you, you know, a lot of things just in those simple moments, right? I mean, it's okay, let's dip into the pockets of those that are aging. Let's get them on medication. Let's get them figuring they're on their way out. Let's just, you know, rape and pillage their brains until they're just, you know, the life is just sucked out of them.
Yeah.
And I see that so clearly, and it makes me so thankful for the spiritual set of eyeballs, you know, that I have, because I could just look at it and go, you know, okay, whatever. You know, there's so many things that, you know, when we talk about the word, that just more word comes up, you know, and we just prayfully fall back on the word. But, you know, my heart was going to a place where it's, you know, we have to stay close to the body of believers. Those that can pray for us, those that can speak in tongue for us, those that can stand, when we may not be able to. And there's going to be times, because we just know that the flesh over time is going to break down. There's going to come a time where we all need, you know, that intervention. You know, and I'm just so thankful that, you know, we do have, you know, this body of Christ and our brothers and sisters in Christ that we can rely on. And, you know, to Patty's point a minute ago, there shouldn't be a shame or any fault in a brother or a sister coming to you open face and saying, I'm struggling, you know, and sometimes we get a little prideful. We get a little embarrassed. We, you know, the better part of us wants to say, no, I'm believing for my healing. But in the back of our mind, you know, that mustard seed works both ways.
Yeah.
That mustard seed of doubt
also
flourishes unbelief.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, that can take root and really multiply in our lives as well. So God's laws, you know, I've learned over time, so many of them, the physical laws, the spiritual laws of God are axiomatic. There's a flip side to the coin so many times we don't really think about. And we really have to be aware, right? And look at it through the lens of, you know, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Michael, I was saying, the only time I use Jesus is like when I bust a knuckle and I go, oh, Jesus, that hurt. Enough said about that. So that's what was on my heart when I was listening to everybody.
Yeah. Greg, if it's not medication, it's a funeral policy.
What's that, Vita?
I was telling Greg, if they're not advertising medication, it's a funeral policy on those stations.
Yeah.
every other commercial, yes.
Yeah, that's why I tend to watch commercial-free television.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, hey, that's wonderful, Greg. Thank you very much. I think, you know, there are so many things that have been touched on today that are, you know, this is the way the church is to get together. This is what it is. It's, you know, everybody has a psalm, everybody has a doctrine, everybody, you know, has a tongue, has a prophecy. That is literally true. Everybody has God working in them. Everybody has Christ in them. Each one of us has things that God is working. You know, sometimes it's just, you know, like Greg said, you know, well, I'm just getting blessed sitting here listening. Wasn't planning on saying anything, but then God works. You know, Matt's thing, the things that were working in Matt's heart to describe, you know, what happened and how in the simplest of terms, God is there protecting us. You know, I mean, that lightning could have struck their house, could have burned their house down. God's taking care of stuff. Yeah, a few things get ruined, so what? Those are just things. But when it comes right down to us, we each know how God works in us. And we each know. And when we get to that place where we're confident in realizing that, hey, it's God that's working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure, to desire to build the saints, to desire to build faith in one another. That's what being together is. It's not to talk about the glory of the adversary. It's to build confidence and faith in one another, in the greatness of our God and Father. That's how the church works together. That's how Christ oversees his church. You know, he's the head of this thing. And when we're brought together, he is the reason we're together. Jesus Christ, the one who is our Lord and Savior, he's the reason we are together. He accomplished making it happen. And then God said, okay, now it's done. Now I'm going to work in each one of them, not just in you, my only son, but now in my many, many, many sons, you know, and daughters. And there are so many great things that God, you know, God does. I mean, you're thinking about vision, having, you know, and obviously those are the things that God has been inspiring, you know, but I was reading again this great psalm. I was brought to it again for some reason. I don't really remember, but I wanted to read it because it's a short psalm, Psalm 46. And because it's just one of those beautiful psalms, you know, and the book of Psalms is a book of songs. Those are songs, you know, that David wrote, because David was, he was a musician. He loved music. He saw the power of music. You know, he was, you know, the one that played his instrument and drove the devil spirit out of Saul. You know, whenever he was there, he played it and Saul said, please play for me. I'm tormented. Would you play a little something for me? And he'd play something on his harp or lute or whatever it was that he had. I forget what it was. Dulcimer. Sack butt, I don't know what it was. But he played it, and he played with such love, with such a real relationship with the Almighty, which he had. He had a relationship with Jehovah, not with a father, but with the Creator. He knew he was, and God had blessed him you know, mightily because of it. And, but when he played, it just drove that spirit out. It drove him away. And Saul could again be at peace with himself. And that's the power of it. That's the power of music. That's the power of anything that we do as sons is certainly equally as powerful as what David did for Saul with music, and equally as powerful as what each psalm that was written by, whether it be David or Asaph or any of the other psalm writers, is to do for God's people. It's to bring their minds and hearts to that reality of the greatness of God. Not in the worthlessness of man, but in the greatness of God. Not in the many, many sins of man, but in the greatness of God's mercy and grace. You know, that's why, and this was their worship music. In the temple, this is what they did. And so where, you know, we see it today, we see in churches, big churches, worship music. Now it's time for our worship service, worship music. And they start singing about what worms they are and how bad off they are and how depressed and discouraged they are. And just almost hopelessly grasping out towards God. And this is their worship music. And yet the worship music of the Word, which is our example, the Psalm, the book of Psalms, brings great glory to God. It brings great glory to God. Yes, it talks about how desperate man is at times, but this is before the Redeemer came and did what he did. Hmm. Before redemption. Before the kinsman Redeemer. Before the intercessor between you and the devil. Before. So what comes after? The heart and truth of the church epistles. We are no longer dead in trespasses and sins. We are alive and seated in the heavenlies. What could be depressing about that? Nothing. I'm sorry. I got no room for that in my life. When I remember where I really sit, I can have nothing but joy and great anticipation for yet what is in store for me. What is in store for you, my brother, my sister. Talk about vision.
Yeah.
Psalm 46 begins and says, God, God is our refuge and strength. God is our refuge and strength. God, the Elohim, that creator, he is my refuge, my high place. He is that place I can go to way up high and be safe from all the crap that's going on. He's where I go. He's where I go. And he is very present, a very present or an ever-present help in trouble. He is always present in trouble. Whenever we're in trouble, whenever we're going through challenges, he is present. If he was present for Israel, he is present for his sons and daughters. He's present for us. That's our vision. When I open my eyes, I see the glory of God, my Father, in my presence, by my side, behind me, in front of me, over me, everywhere about me. I see him. Therefore, will not we fear? This is why we don't have any fear. This is why we no longer have to fear anything. Because he is our refuge. He is the one that we go to in that high place that is a safe place. Though the earth be removed. Now that's about as much as can happen to the earth. It be removed. And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, there's a tsunami coming. Though the mountains shake and the swelling thereof, with the swelling thereof, the volcanoes are erupting. Selah. You know, in Selah, we all are familiar with the term. It means to consider this. Consider this. But it's actually even also, it's thought to be a musical term. In the midst of the psalm, it's kind of like a pause. You know, so when the Levites or whoever it was in the temple that were singing this psalm, they come to the end of that and they pause. And they think. Mm. They consider, what do they consider? They consider this picture of destruction going on in the earth. Volcanoes, earthquakes, tsunamis. All this terror in the earth. But where are we? Where are we? We're in the safe place. We're in a safe place. It says, that verse 4 says, there is a river. You know, and I love the way this does this. It's just kind of, you can almost hear the song, hear the singing. You know, oh, there's a river. What? Wait a minute. I just stopped to consider all the disaster that's going on around me. And yet, oh, wait a minute. Let's think about this river. The river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. This is the safe place that we dwell in. The city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. The Most High. There's no God any higher than our God. There are false gods out there. There are spirits that want to be God, but they're not. They're not. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. This city of God. She shall not be moved. Why? Because God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that, it right early, is literally just as the dawn breaks. Right? Just at the break of dawn, God is there. God's help is there. All this night, and then at the break of dawn, there's God. There's his help. There's his salvation. There's his power working to take care of his people, his city. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He utters his voice, and the earth melts. These kingdoms that are out there in the world, you know, they just shudder. They tremble at all these calamities, but not those that dwell in the presence of the Most High. He is the power. He is the one that takes care of his people. The Lord of hosts is with us, it says in verse 7. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And then again, Selah. A pause. A great pause. Come and behold the works of the Lord. Now it's like forward thinking. It's like, now get a mind picture of how the world is, how this earth is. There's volcanoes, there's storms, there's earthquakes, there's trouble all around. And yet we dwell in the presence of the Most High. We dwell in that high place with him, in that refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. This is what he's going to do to all of this stuff. He makes wars to cease. Unto the end of the earth, he breaks the bow, cuts the spear asunder. He breaks it into the spear. He burns the chariot in the fire. He takes all those things and destroys them. Destroys them. Then he says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. What a great verse. What a great verse, especially in what surrounds it. You know, I mean, you think of You think of what's going on in the earth, all the storms, all the problems, all the global warming, all of this stuff that's going on. And man wants to do something. Man wants to seem like he can figure it all out. How can we solve these problems? How can we solve all the problems of war out there? It's only God that can destroy all the workings of war. It's only God who can take care of you in the midst of the earthquake. It's only God who can do these things. So stop trying to do it yourself. Be still. Be still means, you know, relax. Relax? How can I relax? There's wars everywhere. There's plagues everywhere. Ah, yeah, the sky is falling, Chicken Little. Yeah. How can we sit and watch the glory of God if we're too busy trying to do it ourselves, what he is doing? We can't. You know, he's the one that does these things. So be still. And then once we stop and enter into that rest that he has provided for us, just enter into that rest. Just relax. Sit back and watch God. Watch God. And you will know that he certainly is God. Be still and know that I am God. If you're too busy trying to do it yourself, if we are too busy trying to do it ourselves, we can never really see God work. What a beautiful song. Be still and know that I am God. I'm the one who will be exalted. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Among the heathen, you know, the ones that want to do war all the time. They got chariots, they got spears, they got bows and arrows. They got, you know, tanks, rockets. They got it all. I'm the one who will be exalted among them. I am the one who will be exalted in the earth as the earthquakes rumble, as the tsunamis come. I will be exalted because those that are still will know that I am God. And then he says, the Lord of hosts, that Lord that has an army like none other. Hosts is army. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Just pause and think about that. Pause and think about that. You know, that's just such a wonderful psalm because, you know, for us, he is our refuge. Elohim is our refuge. He's our high place. For Israel and certainly for us, he's our Abba Father. That's our refuge. We come into his presence knowing that we are his sons and daughters. And we rest there. And we're still in that place. We're quiet. We're relaxed. And the great thing about, the great thing about everything in God, God's word, the scripture, he always emphasizes the things we need to think about and consider. He doesn't say the God of Abraham. He says the God of Jacob. Jacob. Remember who Jacob was. He's the supplanter. He's the one who deceived his brother out of his birthright. What a scoundrel. What a rat. Your own brother, your older brother, is sick and starving. And you look at him and you go, want a little stew? You hungry? I'll make you some stew. Oh, I really need something. Please give me something. Well, Esau, I got some stew for you, but it's going to cost you. I'll give you the stew if you give me the birthright. What a scoundrel! What a rat! He tricks his own brother out of his lawful birthright. You know, the birthright to the oldest son was the inheritance and the headship over the family. It's like, hey, it goes to the oldest son. And Esau came out first. They were twins. Esau came out first. Jacob came out holding on to his heel. He's the God of Jacob. Eventually, right, what does Jacob do? Jacob wrestles, he finds himself alone one night wrestling with an angel. What is going on? How do you wrestle with an angel? That'd be like me trying to get in a wrestling match with Andrew. I think Andrew's got the advantage. Well, Jacob, that was the other thing about Jacob. Jacob was determined. He was one determined son of a gun. He wrestled all night with that angel. He did not give up. He would not say uncle. He wrestled all night. And God said, you know what? You're all right. You're a scoundrel. You're a sleazeball. But man, you really got some heart there. I'll take care of you. And then Jacob turns to God and says, you know, you're telling me to go to this place and I'll make you a deal. If you really do for me what I need done, if you're really truly God and you can do these things for me and you'll take care of me and give me the things that I need to survive and do these things, then you will be my God. You will be my God. And God says, okay, I'm your God then. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to change your name because Surplanter doesn't fit you anymore. I accept you for who you are now. The one that's determined to walk with me. The one that is determined to continue to have me as your God and nothing else. Not your birthright. Your birthright is not your God anymore. I'm your God. So I'm going to call you Israel. Name change. Name change. Now, you know, the emphasis on all of this is who is God? He is the God that will accept the worst of the worst and provide for them a safe place. You know, who of us, who admits I'm the worst of the worst? Paul said, I'm the worst. He called me. He allowed me. He gave me the revelation of everything that he had kept secret. He gave it to me. And I'm the least of all the apostles. I am not the guy that is worthy of this. And that's our God, see? We can depend on our God to be our refuge. We can depend on our God, who is now our Father, to be for us everything that we need him to be, to provide for us everything that we need. That's the vision he wants us to have. That he is our God and our Father. Even though we may have been a scoundrel, we may have not deserved a blessed thing, and yet by the grace of God, we are who we are. We are his sons, his daughters, and we are allowed into his high place. We can come there anytime, and we can live without fear because we know where we reside. I just think that's a great psalm. And it's a great vision for us because our position in God's kingdom is so far more privileged than anything that Israel ever had or hoped to have, which is why God had to keep a secret, I guess. So just a little something that was on my heart today. I just thought it was wonderful. So let's keep in mind and keep in our mind's eye the great reality of who God has made us and what he has afforded us through his grace that came by Jesus Christ. So Father, thank you for all the things that you have encouraged us with today, Father. Thank you that we can remember who you have made us, who we are, in your sight. Thank you, Father, for continuing to keep us safe amidst all the commotion and turmoil in the world. Father, we have you by our side and we can reside in your high place. Thank you, Father, that you continue to encourage us and strengthen our hearts and minds. Thank you, Father, that you continue to provide for us the things that we need in great, great ways, with miraculous, miraculous things, with great signs, miracles, and wonders, that you continue to provide for us, that you continue to keep us healthy, that you continue to heal us when we need it, that you continue to keep us at peace when all around us people are afraid. Father, thank you that you give us the words to speak that will minister grace, that will encourage people to have faith in you, to come to you and believe the way we came to you to believe. Thank you, Father, for continuing to bring great understanding to our lives as to what you have purposed for us each individually to do. Thank you, Father, for these things and for the way you continue to work mightily within us by way of that Spirit that dwells in us. Thank you for these things in that powerful and mighty name of Jesus Christ. Someone speak in tongues and interpret or prophesy, please.
My wonderful children, know that I'm your father. Know that I give you visions and dreams. Know that I am always with you, guiding you. Know that you can be thankful, depend on me, stand with me, stand on my word, and know that I'm your father who absolutely loves you.
Wonderful. Someone else?
My love for you is deep and wide, wide as the ocean and deep as the sea. Know for a surety, my wonderful people, you are my chosen. You are my loved ones. You are healed, fellowshipping together. Stand fast on my word wherever you are and sing the praises of my son and what he has accomplished for all of you.
Someone else?
My beloved children, you have always been before my eyes and in my heart. I have spared nothing to bring you to me once again so that I can show you the greatness of the love that I have for you. There is nothing that I will not do for you. I am your loving father. And I take care of you. I put my arms around you and I watch over you every moment of the day. So you don't have to have fear in your life, but you can always just trust in that. Trust in the fact that I am a dad that do not sleep. And I am always taking care of you.
Anyone else?
I know there is.
All right. Amen then. Amen. Wonderful.